And here follows our text. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Amen. Beloved congregation, loneliness and separation. Despite all the means of communication that our society is constantly developing, our world cannot rid itself of loneliness. There is the loneliness that abandoned children experience. In the teenage years, there can be the loneliness of peer dynamics and not feeling understood. Single parents feel alone. Old age often brings loneliness with it. Loneliness is also used to punish people. It's called solitary confinement. Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years in prison for the cause of Jesus Christ, and through 3 of those 14 years were spent in solitary confinement. He writes that for those 3 years, he was, and I quote, 30 feet below ground, never seeing sun, moon, or stars, flowers, or snow, never seeing another man except for the guards and interrogators who beat and tortured me. And he writes, to be in a solitary cell is to reach the peak of suffering. End of quote. But especially death is a great cause of loneliness. Saying farewell for the very last time to a loved one is among one of the most difficult things in life. There are few words for it. In order to know what that is like, you need to have gone through it. Especially when your loved one is a child or a little child. This is where we find Mary this morning in our text, congregation. Jesus is here saying farewell to his mother. Whatever the first words were that Jesus ever spoke to his mother Mary, some 30 or more years before this occasion, now here are the last words of Jesus spoken to his mother, as he is about to go into the isolation of forsakenness for 3 hours, the darkness of hell. That's next. But here is Mary. What about her? Jesus thinks of her on the cross. And he knows she will have a companion in her loss and grief. Hear the words of our text. Jesus said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple whom he loved, Behold thy mother. Here from the cross, Jesus makes sure that Mary will have community. And that's how we this morning entitled the sermon, Calvary Community, the new community created at the cross. Calvary Community, the new community created at the cross. And we'll see, first of all, that Christ cuts through the old bonds. Then secondly, isolates himself. And then thirdly, establishes a new family. So Christ cuts through the old bonds, Christ isolates himself, and Christ establishes a new family. Christ cuts through the old bonds. Now if you think back to the first saying from the cross, congregation, and the second saying from the cross, then you will recall that the first saying of Christ from the cross was a word with respect to the world. Father, forgive them. Father, postpone the judgment. The second words from the cross to that malefactor, that one, that penitent and praying one next to him, was a word with respect to the church, we might say. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This morning, the third word of Jesus from the cross, and this word concerns his nearest and his dearest, Mary, his mother, and John, the disciple whom he loved. You could say his earthly family. At one time, multitudes followed the Lord Jesus, thousands at a time. But when Jesus had begun to utter what they called hard sayings and set his face to go to Jerusalem, the numbers had dwindled to, you might say, a mere handful. And among the handful, you find his blood relatives, you might say. Our text refers to four women who have come to stand near the cross of Jesus. It needs to be said that when Jesus was crucified, the women were more loyal to him than the men. Where are the men, that is, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? It may be that some are standing somewhere afar off, but we are not told specifically. It appears that of the 11, there is only one disciple near the cross of Jesus, the Apostle John. And the women are far in the majority. His mother is mentioned first, although her name is not mentioned. As always in this gospel according to John. In addition to Mary and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, there is the mother of John, Salome, married to Zebedee. Salome is a sister of Jesus' mother, Mary. So, she is an aunt of Jesus, and Salome. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is a cousin of the Lord Jesus. And then we read here, there was Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Cleophas was a brother of Joseph, Mary's husband. So she was a sister-in-law of Mary. She too was an aunt of Jesus. And then finally, there is Mary Magdalene, mentioned here for the first time in the Gospel according to John. She's not a relative, a blood relative of the Lord Jesus, but she has a close bond to the Lord Jesus because he has cast out 7 demons from her. So these 5 persons are standing near the cross, and 4 of them are relatives, blood relatives, you might say. Here you see the physical bonds that show themselves. And all this is very human, isn't it? Here is Jesus' mother. There is Jesus. And Mary cannot leave her dying son. What a dreadful hour that must have been for Mary. The words spoken by old Simeon in Luke chapter 2, some 33 years ago, when she had come there with Joseph, her husband, and baby Jesus, 40 days old, being presented in the temple. Remember the words of Simeon spoken to Mary? Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. What a questions may have gone through Mary's mind here. 33 years ago, she stood next to Jesus in the manger. Now she is standing almost next to him at the cross. 33 years ago, she sang a song of praise. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Now she does not sing. There may have been a song of lamentation in her heart. 33 years ago, there was the multitude of the heavenly host near the stable, singing to the shepherds, glory to God. Now there is a multitude of hellish men deriding Jesus. Yet as terrible as it is for Mary to see her son hanging on the cross and suffering, she has to be here. Congregation, among the earthly blessings, certainly the relationship of a family. And within the family are most precious, are they not? And in that relationship, what is a closer relationship? What is more intimate a relationship than the relationship of a mother to her son or daughter? Remember the words of the Lord by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, chapter 49. Can a mother forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the fruit of her womb? Here at the cross, Mary certainly cannot forsake her son. So there you have the blood bonds. Now let's, as a subtitle, take up the sympathy bonds. Here Mary is standing. She cannot forsake him, but she can't do anything for Jesus. She can't even take a hanky and wipe the blood off his brow. No, but she's here. That's right. Her presence. Does that not give Jesus some company? Some sympathy? Now, many of us know, congregation, that a mother with her child in the hospital when the child has surgery, how precious that can be. And if you don't have your mother anymore, but to have one of your children when you must go through surgery, or your husband, and especially the hour of death, you kind of try to picture that sometimes. Then you sit next to her or him while he or she is dying, and you can't do anything. But your presence, you see, means a lot to that person. Just that you are there. You know that people say that when a soldier, a serviceman, gets shot and he's in war on the battlefield, many of these grown men, in their dying moments, cry for their mother. Hardened men that they may be. And how terrifying to be alone on the battlefield and dying. and you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Didn't he sing at the other Lord's Day, friend and lover are departed, dark, lonely is my way? But you know, if you then may know that the Lord is with you, then it's different, even in death veil. So our organist played before the service, "Thou failest never." So sympathy bonds. Let's move on to fulfilled bonds. Because notice what Jesus does at this moment with these blood bonds and sympathy bonds when he sees his mother and the disciple whom he loved. Whom he loves at that very moment too. He says to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." And he says to the disciple, John, "Behold thy mother." Very remarkable words these are. Because this third word of Christ from the cross calls attention to the fact that Jesus in life also fulfilled his obedience to his parents. Here, honoring his mother. Christ, you see, was fully engaged in his life in these earthly, these human relations. Oh, at times, the words that Jesus spoke and his actions grieved his mother. But it had to be. Didn't Jesus have to be about his Father's, his heavenly Father's business? And still we read in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus, also when he was young, was subject to his father and mother. And even here, as he is hanging on the cross, does not neglect the fifth commandment's duty, honor thy mother. No, Jesus magnifies and also now will magnify the law and make it honorable, even in his dying hour. And up to this time, he, the eldest son in the family, has cared for her, protected her, but now she needs a replacement. And so he appoints his disciple, John. "Woman," he says to his mother, "woman, behold thy son." That is, from now on, regard John as your son. And John, his disciple, receives the task from Jesus to take the place of the master, you might say, the place of the son. He must protect and provide for Mary, even as his own mother, and fulfill the duties of a son to his mother. So there you have the fulfillment of the bonds. And then fourthly, you have the cut bonds. As Jesus is on the cross, he can no longer be subject to his mother as he was when he was 12 years old. Today he is not in the temple in Jerusalem. He is outside Jerusalem. And he is, you might say, in a different temple. And here he is not reasoning with the teachers of the law. But here he is in the temple of God outside Jerusalem. And here he is as the Lamb of God, you might say. Cannot be subject to his mother. And therefore he cannot say, "Mother, behold thy son," but says, "Woman." What is Jesus doing? He is saying farewell to his mother as mother. Remember that at one time he had said to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" But today he must send his mother away, everyone away. Why? Well, because Jesus is about to go there where Mary cannot come. He must be about his Father's business. He must tread the winepress of God's wrath all alone, so none can be with him. Now there is no time for any human emotion either. You might say that in these words, the Lord Jesus is also saying to us today, don't look at me as a person to be pitied from a human point of view. Don't sympathize with me, but seek salvation with me. You could say, congregation, that this is a lesson that not only Mary has to learn, but that we also have to learn here, namely that the bonds of flesh, of the flesh, cannot bridge the gulf, the abyss to eternity. Your godly mother, if you have one, cannot do that, or a godly father, or a godly son, cannot bring you where you need to be. Remember Paul in the chapter on the resurrection puts it this way, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. In the end, the flesh must die. Turn away from the flesh. We must too. And have dealings with the Lord, nothing but as a sinner. That's what Mary learned here. Woman. But there is more. And we move to our second main point, congregation, that what Jesus does in these moments is he isolates himself. Have a good look here at the Lord Jesus, congregation. In the Spirit, they take a deep picture of Jesus, or deeply take it in. When you see Jesus on the cross, whom do you see there? You see a man, a true man. Yes, he is also the Son of God. But that special glory is especially now hidden from view. And the people are shouting at him, the multitudes, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. The Lord Jesus is not planning to come down from the cross. He knows he must die here. And so takes leave of his mother. What's he doing? He is isolating himself. And look, there goes John. Who's with him? Mary. Going away from the cross. He's taking her to his home to protect and provide for her. And Jesus remains behind without his mother, without his disciple, alone on the cross, without any support from his mom or his disciple. And he will drink the cup of God's wrath alone. What happens now and is about to happen in full is his father gives him the cup of wrath. And what happens now is what happens between his father and him. Even his mother cannot be there. He isolates himself. And notice a number of things about this isolation. First of all, that it is a permanent isolation. It's not so that the Lord Jesus takes a 3-hour leave of Mary as mother. Even 3 days later, on the day of resurrection, Mary will no longer be his mother, who has a special place, but she will be one of the followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. Had Mary maybe thought that she would receive a special place in the church? We don't read that she had ever thought that. But she must entrust herself now to the care of the disciple, John. Mary could say at this moment what Paul later on writes in, again, the second letter now to the church in Corinth, chapter 5, verse 16. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. That's the point. Mary has to relinquish Jesus as her son. And she must regard him only as Jesus, the Savior, Christ, the prophet, the priest, and the king, whom she needs. As a woman, she must learn to seek salvation in him. So a permanent isolation. But also notice the priestly aspect of this isolation. You will know that in the law God had stipulated that a priest, when he had to perform his priestly office, and if then a family member would die, he was not allowed to mourn like others. We read that, for instance, about Ezekiel in his prophecy, chapter 24, and we read it also about Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10, that the point is the priestly office may not suffer loss and must go on unhindered. And that's what's happening at this moment. Christ is the priest, and he may not lose himself in things that would draw him away from his divine calling. He may not make his death to be a family affair and draw his death into the intimate sphere, mother, son, mother. No, as priest, Christ keeps his death pure. Let's go of his mother in order that he may save his mother also and all his people. And then here you see, congregation, that this becomes an isolation that is very instructive. An instructive isolation. First of all, consider this, that if the Lord Jesus Christ isolates himself here, he does it till he is all alone. What's instructive about that? Does that not instruct us that we also should worship him alone? There was none with him, and there is none like him. He alone secured salvation. And should we not now look past all else? However important all the other things are, but focus on Jesus alone. In our text, when Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." In those words, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you and me this morning, people of God, look to him alone. Behold your surety, your priest who lets go of everything and everyone in order to save you. He was willing to be all alone. So then, worship him alone. And there is an additional point of instruction here, congregation, and it is this, that if Christ so isolated himself, should we then not also have a secret place, or find a secret place to be apart with Christ alone? Each man apart, each woman apart. Whom we in our isolation, or when we in our isolation, then look to Christ alone and pour out our hearts before him. Think of that. I recognize that that's a different isolation than the isolation of Jesus, the surety, the mediator. He isolated himself in order to bear the wrath of God alone. But does Jesus himself not teach us that when you pray, enter into your closet? Be alone? Yes, there is the family prayer. There is the marriage prayer. There is the communal prayer in church. But there is also the closet, is there not? the solitary place, away from all other things that would distract us. Now the question is, do you and I still know that place? And do we know the practice every day of being alone, isolating yourself to be with God in the name of Jesus, personally, privately? All alone with Him. May I read you some lines from Bracco? He writes, "We must always strive for a disposition of heart that is inclined towards solitude while surrounded by the turmoil of the world. It means to be free from all creatures so that they will neither have dominion over us, conquer our hearts, confuse or trouble us. Rather, we are to make use of everything to the extent that this may be subservient on our journey to eternity. Doing so similar to a stranger who is but traveling through. If a cross or tribulation comes our way, we are not to look for creature comfort or help, but in solitude look unto God." Psalm 102, verse 7, "I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." End of quote. Will you do so? Alone with God in the name of Jesus. And then finally, our third point, Christ establishes a new community. "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother," he says to his disciple. What Christ is doing, congregation, is here at the cross. He is bringing something into being at the foot of the cross. He does away with the old family bonds. He isolates himself, but he also creates something glorious here on this earth. A new community. What kind of community? A Calvary community. Something coming to life out of the dying of our Lord. So a fruit of the tree of the cross of Jesus. Something that comes alive out of the dying of Jesus, the church, Mary, John, and Christ's outstretched arms, gathering them together. That's his last will, his testament, as it were. And what a glorious testament that is. And in that new community, you and I must learn every day, first of all, to submit. The portion that God gives his people is always good congregation. Not that his people always understand why they have that portion in life. Often it comes in the way of difficulty, as here with Mary as well. But the guidance of God in your and in my life is always wise, is always good. And just as Christ gives to Mary his very best, so Christ today too always gives his people what is best for them. What is it that God gives you? What is it that he gives me? What did he give to Mary here? To Mary he gave John. You need John, Mary. John, you need Mary. And it is so good when we learn this early congregation. So often we readily kick against what God gives us in life. Here you are, a member in this church. Have you ever thought, have you ever wondered, why did God give this church to me? Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe you say, God had nothing to do with it. Ever thought, why did God give this congregation to me? Why did God give these elders to me? Why did he give these deacons to me? Why does he send me to this Christian school? Why does he give me that Christian instruction? And then the Lord knows what he is doing. If only we learn to submit to his portion and receive it humbly, humbly from his hand. That's the first lesson. You learn to submit. And the second lesson is that you learn to forsake. That's right. That's the question. Do you, by faith, belong to this new family of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your earthly family the only family that you have? Mind you, the institution of the family is very precious, also very precious in the Bible. But you know, your family, your blood family, has only value in this life. And it is to help you see value of the next family. Of the next family. That's the lesson at the cross. At the cross of Jesus, at this moment, we learn that blood ties need to go and that spiritual ties need to grow. Do you remember that? At the cross of Christ, we learn that blood ties need to go and spiritual ties need to grow. Really, there are times that you must forsake your father and your mother, your wife, and your children, if the cause of the gospel is at stake. Then the old family has to make room for this new community. You know the story perhaps of a Hindu girl in India some years ago. She was 16 years of age, was converted to Jesus Christ. And her Hindu family could not accept it. They wanted her back. But she would not deny her Lord. What happened? She died at the hands of her blood family. Why? Because they wanted her to lose her Christian family. But she could not let go of that Christian family. And she died to be with Jesus and the saints above. Learn to forsake. And then thirdly, learn to also enjoy that Christian, that Calvary community. Because it's a community of fellowship. It's quite certain that at this moment in Jesus' life, his brothers, his half-brothers, I should say, Judas and James and Simon, had not yet been converted. And Jesus sends his mother, blood mother, to be with John, the beloved disciple. And together, Mary and John and others with them, enjoyed fellowship together. Isn't it John who wrote about these things later on? A And what hours of Christian fellowship Mary and John must have had. Who was Mary? She was the woman who, like nobody else, knew Jesus as a man. And who was John the disciple? He was the disciple who, like nobody else in all the Gospels, you might say, knew who Jesus was, but the Son of God. Woman, behold thy son. Disciple, behold thy mother. So learn to enjoy the new community. And then fourthly, learn to minister in that community. Because the Calvary community is to be a community of mutual service. We must care for our brothers and sisters. And even our fathers. Remember how John writes about these things. And later on, even one of the half-brothers of Jesus, James by name, in his epistle, he writes at the end of the first chapter, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, that is the orphans and widows in their affliction. Son, behold thy mother. Congregation, do we do this? Do we look to minister to those in the congregation who are lonely among us? Widows, the weak. Christ from the cross sends us to our spiritual sisters and brothers who need us. Heed his voice from the cross. So that fourthly, learn to minister. And then fifthly, learn to heed. Mary and John both obey Jesus Christ. From that hour, John takes Jesus' mother, Mary, to his home. Have you ever thought about it, that as they walk, they don't argue? They don't delay, but they obey. What a beautiful picture that is. That Christ from the cross is directing his new community. And so it should always be. The Calvary community is a church that heeds the word of our Lord. We should not try to add to that word or to the work of Christ, but we should bow under his word. That's what the Calvary community does. Now, one final thing, congregation, as I come to a close. Do you hear the word of our text? Woman, behold thy son. And from that hour, John took her to his own home. Woman. Can you think of another page in the Bible that also speaks about the woman? Think of the first time in the Bible that the Lord speaks about the woman. Remember where that is? In Genesis chapter 2? In the Garden of Eden? It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And then when God put Adam to sleep and he took the rib, and from the rib made he a woman and gave her to the man. Remember what Adam said? This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. Woman, that was on the part of Adam a cry of companionship. Someone like me, to help me. Here is on the cross who? Jesus, who is he? He is the second Adam. And he is about to go into isolation. What does he do? He isolates himself. Woman, behold thy son. Disciple, your mother. But what's he doing? He is establishing a new community. An Eve, as it were, a woman from his side. And so here you can hear the gospel. And then 3 hours later, we will see it tonight, he cries out at the end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There is a note of victory here that the second Adam is giving companionship. No, he isolates himself. He gives companionship to his church. He isolates himself that he might offer to others what he had to miss. Think of that. We all deserve to be cast into hell and there to be in isolation. But here is the second Adam who isolated himself. But in his isolation became the true fountain of spiritual companionship. The church is born out of the side of the second Adam. And here you hear the fulfillment of the word, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Thank God for Calvary community. Amen. Let us pray. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be for me the double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure, and give me to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. Her Lord. She is a new creation by water and the Word. Oh, grant us that portion, O Lord, with whatever other portion thou dost give us, to be part of that church whose secret is thy own gracious presence, even from heaven, by thy word and spirit. O, teach thou us, and unto us impart this gospel, by giving us a new heart. In Jesus' name, amen.